When we arrived the soil of South Africa, the first visitation that came to us was that our bags did not arrive. And for me, that was a sign that the devil had something to contend with, and I became determined. No, you're playing well, but it was too loud. Hallelujah. Then when it is loud like that, we lose some windows in the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So what this conference is about is that we will all have the opportunity to touch God. Okay? We intend as much as possible to ensure that the Lord will not be a mystery to the average believer. That we will understand His economy, how to move His hand. No, stop. How to move His hand. Who is in charge of this? They are also not with me. Can you reduce this volume a little? You see, we cannot just offer God anything. We need to prepare to meet Him. Are you with me? You must grow in your consciousness of the person of Jesus. And when you grow in your consciousness of who Jesus is, you'll find out that you cannot just offer Him anything. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray tonight, as we turn over this conference into your hands, we ask, O God, that you look kindly on each and every one of us that made it out here today, and those that are participating online, those that have had to cross borders, from Mozambique, from Zimbabwe, from Botswana, to come into this conference, we ask, O God, let them not go back empty-handed. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I humbly present my vocal cord as a pathway through which you can make yourself manifest. By all means, let me be hidden away behind your cross, that the fullness of your glory might be made manifest, that the sons of God might be equipped, energized, and empowered to extend the frontiers of your kingdom. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I see my friends from Botswana. I see my friends from Mozambique. I salute you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, that's a good place to clap. So thank you so much, Pastor Jimmy and Pastor Kay. I met angels in South Africa. Angels, two angels. They say their names are Jimmy and Kay, but I'm still investigating. Glory to God in the highest. Turn your Bible quickly to the book of Luke chapter 4. I want to ask that you stay with me. Stay with me. Let's make a trip in the revelations of God. Luke chapter 4, we'll begin our reading from verse number 31. and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Verse 36 is my emphasis. It's like a commentary. It's like the assessment of what Jesus did from the perspective of the minds of the people. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." Now, I was wondering, because verse 36 is a commentary. Verse 36 is an evaluation that was done from the congregation. Verse 36 is a feedback that came from the people that were in attendance in the conference that Jesus had conducted. The first thing you will see and notice from the feedback, I need to say something. This lecture has two aspects. It has the theoretical aspect and it has the practical aspect. Now, because of the sensitive nature of this lecture, one of the obstacles that we are going to confront is if someone becomes careless in this conference and you allow your phone to ring, it will reduce my capacity. I think that's fair enough if I tell you the obstacle we are likely to confront, so that we'll do due diligence to ensure that that obstacle is taken out of the way. For every theoretical thing I mention, I will show you the practical aspect, how it works. We are attempting to ensure that our knowledge of God will not be theory, mental accent, but will be able to bring God down to a level of practicality. It is only in that mode that we can profit from God. Now, you said too many amens. Enough amen for the week. So no more amen. It's enough amen for Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning and Sunday night. Just stay with me. Don't say anything. Keep quiet. So the Bible says the congregation that participated in what Jesus was doing were amazed. There was an emotion of amazement that resulted from the expression of the ministry of Jesus. And the reason why they were amazed is because the utensils that Jesus used to prosecute his ministry were such utensils that were not active in the ministry of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So it was like a strange texture of service delivery. And it provoked amazement. They were what? Amazed. Now, their amazement was not just emotional. It was accompanied with vocal expression. It means that they were able to voice out the substance behind their amazement. And two things were identified as the reason for which they were amazed. Now, there's a sound I'm hearing. If that sound is from the mixer, is this sound from the mixer? You know, I want to know. Maybe you may not have the ability to take it away, but I want to know the source of this sound. It's from... okay. So at least I know the source, because I normally hear sounds, many different. So I want to know if this one is from earth or from heaven. No. Don't do that. Don't switch it off. Stay with me. Just stay with me. So there were two reasons why they were amazed. And the first reason is, meanwhile, they said, what a message is this? What a word is this? You know, and I was expecting that when they said, what a word is this? What a message is this? The guy that was running the commentary would have probably included the title of the message that Jesus preached, for which he was amazed. But we did not get to hear the title of the message, so it was not about the message. Even though they say, what a message is this? It was not about the message, because we didn't get to hear the title. We don't know the subject that Jesus was treating. So it was not so much about his ability to vocalize things. There are teaching aids that Jesus used that were more powerful than the things that he said. The eventual impact of the ministry of Jesus was going to be much more powerful than what he had vocal capacity to say. So if all that you have in your ministry is vocal power, lingo and diction, you are somewhat incapacitated to deliver New Testament ministry. What a message is this? For with authority and with power, he commanded the unclean spirits and they come out. So there were two utensils that Jesus used to prosecute ministry. And the description of his ministry could not be isolated from these utensils. Someone is still not here. I'm still hearing a ringtone. Now, is it possible? You know, on your phone, there's a place where there's one red stuff. That's where they switch it off. That red place, if you hold it long enough, it will go out. Hallelujah. Any miracle phone call you have not received till now will not come now. In the name of Jesus Christ. What a word is this? For with authority and with power, he commanded the unclean spirits and they obey him. Okay? So if we're going to do such ministry that can affect the kingdom of darkness, if we're going to do such ministry that can forestall the things that Satan intends to accomplish, we will need to go beyond lingo. And it will interest you to know that one of the things that Satan, if he has the ability to hide, will want to hide, is that scenario when we exercise the authority that is in God and it displaces the kingdom of darkness. That aspect of the deliverance ministry where you can speak to demons and say, you get out. And they have no choice, as vicious as they may look sometimes, they have no choice but to obey. It's a proof of the superiority of the kingdom of God over and against the kingdom of darkness. All right? And if Satan had his way, he would have wanted to hide that kind of scenario. That means that if you do not have the kingdom utensils, there are many things that Satan wants to hide that will be adequately hidden in your ministry. So your ministry will be a hideout for demons. It will be a hideout for all kinds of activity, because only these utensils can reveal the inferiority of the kingdom of darkness and check them out of place. So, I question your prophetic ministry if you cannot cast out devils. Because if you cannot cast out devils, because one of the prophetic gifts, which is one of the deep prophetic gifts, is the gift of discernment of spirits. That gift gives you access to identify spirits. So you are going, you are traveling beyond face value to the very context of reality to identify things that are masquerading and attempting to hide. So if you say you have a prophetic ministry and you don't have authority to cast out devils, what you are doing is a show, is a performance. Hallelujah. It's a performance. And we are tired of performances. We've had too many performances over the years, and the body of Christ is weary. Now, many people will not say it publicly, but many people question the reality of God because they encountered performance. The narrative has to change because it's Africa's time of recovery. There are many things that God wants to use the sons and daughters of this continent to achieve right now. If you have read the statistics, you will find out that in the United Kingdom now, the current statistics that came out suggested that Christianity is a minority religion. It means that in the West, they have entered into the postmodern age, where one of the things that constitutes the heart of their culture is no longer the belief system. Yeah, that's where they have gone to. And that's the journey, the length, that the spirit of the Antichrist in our age wants to move things into in order to invalidate anything that is a function of faith. So the fact that you have lingo, and probably you attended a theological school, and you could put 2-3 scriptures together to make some intellectual sense, doesn't make you competent enough to be a minister in this time, because the battle is not, is beyond, is beyond that intellectual thing you're doing. It's beyond the juggernauts of philosophy. The only way you can bring your generation to a standstill to contemplate the things of God is that you have this utensil. The guys that were in that congregation that were receiving ministry from Jesus were not necessarily people that were interested, but their attention was captured when these utensils were at work. What a message is this? And they never ended up telling us the title of the message. But what about the message that caught their attention was that he had his way with 2 utensils, with power and with authority. And with these utensils, he was able to displace the minions from the kingdom of darkness and to establish the supremacy of the kingdom of God. If your efforts cannot establish the supremacy of the kingdom of Christ over the kingdom of darkness, you are not so relevant now. But you are doing something. You are doing something. It's an effort. It's an effort. The foundation of our civilizations are rooted in transactions that were captured in necromancy, in divination, in all that stuff. You will be wrong to think that those relics, some of those relics, are not still very functional and active. So if we are going to tell the gospel according to the texture of Africa, because of our roots, because of our background and our foundation, our own story of the gospel cannot be told outside of power, outside of authority. I know you want to be an English preacher with a bow tie, and you have an accent, and you're trying to make people feel you're intelligent. All that stage stuff, I trust me, I'm a master of that. If I used to do that. And I don't think you are as good as I was in that business. But I found out that the best I could do was just to sell ideas. And redemption is not in the head. May the Lord give you understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, there are two utensils, and I need to show us these two utensils. Can you turn your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If there is a possibility for you to give me the scriptures on the screen, I may not need to be coming here too frequently. And if you cannot, I might need to be quoting the scriptures in order for us to save time. That's not 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul brings us education. You know, I like the ministry of Paul because he had the anointing in terms of, in the measures of the spirit of wisdom and revelation, in the knowledge of Christ, to bring definition to concepts. I'll explain what I mean by that. If you are a student of the teachings of Jesus, Pastor Jimmy has a red letter Bible. It means the writings of Jesus are in red. The things that Jesus said are captured in red. Don't increase my volume yet. Just leave the balance. Leave it. Don't try to adjust. No, I like it the way it is, okay? Anything you adjust is going to affect too many things. So just leave it. Let's leave it. If you study the utterances of Jesus that are captured in red in your Bible, you'll find one thing, because I have studied a little on those grounds. Jesus will hardly define anything. Think about that. Hardly. If he has his way, he will refuse to define it. You know why? If you have read the book of John chapter 3, for instance, you will find the context of John chapter 3 is such that it would have been the best scenario for Jesus to define what it meant to be born again. Because Nicodemus came by night to meet with Jesus. And Nicodemus did not come on his own accord. He came as a representative of a certain syndicate in the Jewish ruling council. Because when he was making his presentation, he says, we. It was only one man that came, but he was speaking for a clique, a club. And he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. If you hear the tone of that statement, it looks like accreditation. You know, they were trying to accredit his ministry. They were trying to identify with the fact that he was a teacher of truth and verity. So the sect, the clique he represented in the Sanhedrin, they were bringing commendation and accreditation to Jesus. Right? And if you read from verse number 1 in John chapter 3, it says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. There was a man. He was a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler, and he happens to be a Jew. In my own opinion, that's too much detail. Because the Bible, the Holy Spirit was fighting for space in the Bible. So how is it that it was possible for him to identify Nicodemus as a man, Nicodemus as a Pharisee, Nicodemus as a Jew, Nicodemus as a ruler, and Nicodemus as Nicodemus? That's too much. But you see, you will never know the reason why that prolific kind of introduction was brought if you don't understand the meaning of Jesus' response. So his curriculum vitae was adequately captured in verse 1. And then he came with a message from his clique in the Sanhedrin. And the message looked like accreditation. And the last time I checked, they don't accredit people in the night. But this guy showed up. So it's quite difficult to understand what was going on there. But he came to Jesus and brought a commendation, brought accreditation. If others don't believe you are a teacher from God, we believe you are a teacher from God, not because of what you are teaching, but because you can do miracles. And no man can do these miracles. People do miracles from the devil. But the type of miracles you do, no man can do this type except God. So we know the ones that people do that is except Satan is with them that they can do this type. But your type, we checked it. And we discover that no one can do this miracle, this type that you do, except God. So what we are saying, the clique I represent, we are saying God is with you. We are teachers ourselves, but we don't know where we are from. But we know that you, a teacher, come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I was expecting Jesus to say something like, why didn't you do this in the daytime? Maybe on my crusades when I'm firing the Holy Ghost. Then I say, we have a little interlude. The Sanhedrin have sent a representative to read out a dissertation. Then Nicodemus would have come and say, we know that thou art. And people, you know, he would have brought credibility to the ministry of Jesus. I was expecting him to ask, why the night? You there? But Jesus didn't go that way. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Think about that. If you remember the boisterous introduction that the Bible gave about Nicodemus, you see that Nicodemus could be analyzed from five different directions. But from Jesus' perspective, he could only be analyzed in one direction. He could only be analyzed as a man, not as a Pharisee, not as Nicodemus, not as a ruler. Because you needed to be a man in order for you to be a Pharisee. You need to be a man in order for you to be Nicodemus. You need to be a man in order for you to be a ruler. So the baseline, the denominator is man. Are you there? And unfortunately for Nicodemus, what Jesus was saying is that you were not born properly. So it means that your PhD is wrong. Nicodemus is wrong. Your position is wrong because you are not born again. And because of this, your fatal lack, you have no capacity to access the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is not real to you. You are dead to it. You don't have what it takes to be able to access that kingdom. You would need to be born again. Then I was expecting Jesus to define what it means to be born again. And instead of a definition, Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. You don't know from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every man that is born of the Spirit. So if it were Jesus will escape definitions. You know why I had to go to God to ask him, hey, why did you always escape an occasion to define things? You know what he told me? He said, I chose that option so that I will not allow kingdom things to be at the disposal of a mere intellectual and carnal man. So in order for us to do business at this level, I salute your intellectuality. You labored for so long to come out with a PhD. You were in master's class and doing something there, and I salute you. So I'm not despising your mental capacity. And it will interest you to know that I'm not an illiterate myself. But all of that Nicodemus was, he was a doctor, one of the rulers, that did not give him any advantage in the matter of the kingdom of God. Is that clear? Now, the thing about Apostle Paul is that Apostle Paul, his own ministry and the grace that was upon him in the measures of the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom that were operational in his life, gave him the capacity to define things. Whereas Jesus would not define, Apostle Paul likes defining. So that makes him a very critical minister of the gospel in the context of the New Testament. The powers that were given to him were revelatory. And he actually gained a lot of mileage in interpreting the ancient things that were locked on the heart of God. So when we consult him in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 20, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in what, it will interest you to know that a time came when I wanted to cram the New Testament. Yes. I was gaining mileage in that. I've stopped that anyway. Because after gaining mileage, I found out that, yes, I knew the scriptures, but it did not advance my knowledge of God. I knew it in my brain, but it did not advance my knowledge of God. And I'm going to show you, because the Bible says that that word in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are you there? This is what it reads in the Greek. In the beginning was the Logos, the logic of God. That's so we have logic. Logos means logic. Logos means the wisdom. Logos also means the utterance. So in the beginning was the logic of God. It is this logic of God that is a chartered personality that can describe God. So if you want to give a description to God, you will need to go to his logic. If you want to give a definition to God, all of that is captured in this personality called the Logos of God. Is that clear? The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now, this logic of God was also an active participant in the creative enterprise. So it means that part of what God is saying is captured in creation. That's why the Bible says that day to day uttered speech. And he was talking about creation. Oh, you're not with me. Okay, let me leave you. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. In Hebrews chapter 1, therefore, in the end of days, God changes his spokesperson. For God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken unto us by the logic. You are not following me. You can study Moses, but you must hear the logic of God. You can study Jeremiah, but you must hear the logic of God. Because he's the spokesman of God. Alright? Good. This logic of God is not letters. Think about it. Oh, you're not with me. In fact, these scriptures that are written here, they were inspired by him. And the purpose of the inspiration of the scriptures is so that we can find gateways through the thoughts of God into spirit dimensions where we can encounter him. For the Bible says that ye search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But these scriptures are They speak, they testify concerning me. So it means that the Bible are gateways into spirit dimensions where we can encounter the logic of God. So if all you know is these written letters in your brain, sorry, what you put in your brain is the pathway to the goal of what God had in mind. And you can stay on the road and never get to your destination. Have you not seen, it is possible for you to know the Bible, but you are not living right. You know scriptures? It's possible for you to have read the book of Romans, but you don't have the experience of justification. I don't want to go there. Let's go back to it. Most of what ministers have is, if you are going to be original, you must pass through these gates to meet the personality that inspired this. These thoughts are supposed to trouble you until it advances you to. And anyone among us that has met with him, the world will know that you met with him. So don't celebrate yet. Make sure you meet him. So it says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, are you there? For the kingdom of God is not in words. It means that the kingdom of God is a concrete spiritual civilization, a concrete spiritual administration that words will be too weak to describe. I know some of you, like myself, you've labored in the educational sector before. You know, I used to be a teacher. I teach further maths, I teach physics, chemistry, mathematics. Yes. The reason why I was a teacher is because I have grace to teach. I get excited if I'm in the class. The fulfillment is much more than anything on earth. Because even though a sangoma costs you and you come to my class, you pass. Because we'll break it down so much that you will pass. So I was in the class, slippering there. I missed my chalk. I missed in the blackboard. From the classroom, I was now taken to the oil industry. So, and oh my God, we got involved with petroleum and fiscalization. But you see, when I was in the classroom, especially if you wanted to teach something like chemistry, you will need to use structures if you are teaching organic chemistry. If you want to teach something like biology, you would need to use diagrams. So these structures and these diagrams, they illustrate the concept that you're trying to pass across. Are you with me? The concept will never be fully known until it is illustrated. It is visualized. You can see it. And you know, in education, if you hear, you forget. If you see, you remember. If you practice, then you will know. So those of you that graduated as accountants that you have not practiced accounting for the past 5 years, you are no longer an accountant. you are no longer an accountant. So, if you are trying to teach kingdom things, just like in biology, you need to illustrate by reason of a diagram. In chemistry, by reason of a structure. In kingdom, you will need to illustrate it with power. Power is the utensil that is used to illustrate kingdom things. Because your words are weak. They don't have the capacity to unveil the reality and the concreteness of the administration and the dynamics of the kingdom of God. I'm just trying to show you how deficient we are if we are trying to do ministry without power. You see, the object of this ministry is when we finish doing the theoretical aspects to build the accurate perspective of concepts. Then there's an empowerment aspect. So that no one will walk out of here thick. Don't worry, it's okay. You cannot illustrate kingdom things without power. For the kingdom of God is not in words. It is in power. When the power dimension is manifested, then it is easy for people to relate with the realities of the kingdom of God. And that was the reason why the observers that were victims of the ministry of Jesus were amazed. And they were amazed because of his authority and power. It means that the kingdom of God became a visual reality that they could relate to it. It left the realm of concepts, definitions, the realm of keys. Then it came to the realm of practicality, showing that each and every one of us can actually handle and wield kingdom utensils. Go with me to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. 5 and 6. Acts 8, 5 and 6. Technical man, help me put it on the screen so that I will not need to be going to my own Bible. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Next verse. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. The reason why the people gave heed was, so that in Philip's ministry, we had things to hear and things to see. We had audio and we had video. That's how kingdom things are illustrated. There must be audio and there must be visuals. If any of these things are lacking and all you are trying to do is to smuggle in concepts, you'll blow our brains out. And even when our brains are blown out, we will yet not understand the kingdom of God. If you are still with me, say amen. That's a good. That's enough amen for this week. All right. So, now that you have seen that, let us go deeply and do some definitional terminologies. So, we'll talk briefly about power and authority. Then we'll go, if we have the opportunity, then we'll go deeper. We'll go deeper and then we'll see how the demonic realm influences your office, influences your business. The realm wants to influence your life, wants to influence your children, wants to influence your money, wants to influence your wife. Are you there? Yes, the demonic realm wants to influence everything about your life and influence your health. In the eyes of Jesus, we are not equipped for life. We are not competent to prosecute life if we lack kingdom enhancement. And that's why Jesus said that these signs will follow them that believe in my name. There will be evidences to show that these ones believe, and evidences in measures of power and in measures of authority. Because in the eyes of Jesus, you will need power and authority to prosecute natural life, not for ministry. If you begin to do ministry and you begin to hit 500,000 rand, 1 million rand, 5 million rand, Satan will visit you. Yes. Most of you don't know the level of spirituality that you need to sustain in order for heaven to trust you with 1 billion rand. You think in terms of strategy, of marketing. You think in terms of catchment area, customer base, We think in terms of census, in terms of polling, in terms of votes. That's not how the game of power is played. You can win an election by votes, and the machinery that is on ground can make you third place. You're not with me. I'm saying we don't win by polling, we don't win by census, we don't win by market share and percentages, we don't win by all share index and GDPs. That's how people do it in the world. That they train them to become masters of these indices and to know what to do to take decisions that are consistent with the variabilities that are captured in the economic war front. That's cerebral. Through the spirit, I can see trends that are not captured in statistics and take decisions today, and you say that I'm a fool. Just like people said that Noah was a fool. Until rain showed up. Well, stay with me. You need these utensils in order to be able to prosecute normal life. First of all, I will need to define terminologies. And if I succeed in defining the terminologies, then I will show you how they operate. Then we can now go deeper as to how we can strip the devil of his territorial influence. Strip the devil of his influence in your family. Strip the devil of his influence in your finances. Because there is a spirit called famine. I know you don't know that spirit. So you need to be able to exercise authority in order for you to be in control of your life. The guy that came to church that Jesus casted out spirits from never knew he had a demonic issue. And there was nothing he did that suggested that there was anything that was out of sync in his life. He was pious, he was sanctimonious, he was sacramental. He would flow with the worship, he would flow with the singing. But there was something on his life he could not describe, because the thing is not intellectual. The thing is a person from a concrete world that is more concrete than the physical world. The physical world is a victim to that world. And the personality from that world is determined to ensure that the man is a certain kind of man. As long as his strategies are natural, he's going to be under the bondage of that influence. So we have many people in church that are bound and they don't know. Just like here, today. I know you don't believe. But you see, we will introduce some utensils. And some things that we cannot see now will become visible. Now, the reason why we are doing that, are you there? Don't be angry when we bring the utensils and we discover that there is for your good. That's why it's an apostolic conference. Part of the utensils for transaction is authority. And when we bring that in the scene, it provokes reactions. So you might discover that those reactions are the things that have delayed your marital life, have made this difficult, made that difficult. We are hoping that every such issue in our midst will be addressed as we go on in Jesus' name. All right, so I'd like you to draw a table. If we want to do real Bible analysis, we contrast, we compare, we analyze. So you need to draw a table. Sometimes we'll draw a graph. And we'll put John 3:16 here. We'll put 1 Corinthians chapter 6 here. We'll plot a graph. And then we'll find out where you are on the graph. Point A, this is your civilization. This is what is available to you. Point B, this is what is available to you. So that you can visualize it. You can tell, oh my God, that if you have an interest to migrate from A to B, they will now tell you, okay, this is what you need to do to migrate. But if you like where you are, there is sufficient grace to maintain you right there. Amen. Number one. So you put On this column you put power, on this column you put authority. And let's go. Number one, under power. Power is a gift. Power is what? It's a gift. We can confirm that in the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 19. You see, I'm beginning to sense the teaching anointing. Anytime I sense it, it means we'll be in church for long. Amen. I hope you don't mind. All right, so stay with me. In the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus makes a statement. He said, "Behold, I give you power." See, the guys didn't do anything. He just delegated power to them. He gave them power. You see, I have some kingdom assignments, some kingdom errands I would like you to run. And you cannot run these errands without any capacity. So I will delegate measures of power to you. So behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. It's tomorrow in the minister's conference. We are going to do serpent and scorpion. Those are metaphors. One thing you must know about Jesus' teaching ministry, it is loaded with parables, it is loaded with metaphors. So Jesus has a few teaching aids. One of his teaching aids are parables. The reason why he uses parables is because everything in the unseen realm, every single thing, every single principle in the unseen realm is illustrated in the seen realm. Every single thing. I know you don't believe that, but I picked that from the Bible. Let me repeat myself. I say every single concept, principle, reality, and thing that is hidden away in the unseen realm is adequately illustrated in the seen realm. So what Jesus did was that he now used physical things, natural things, to explain kingdom principles, spiritual things, so that you will know that the spirit realm and the natural realm are actually weaved together. And the natural realm is an expression of the spiritual realm. I don't have time to take you into Hebrew because I can use the linguistic perspective to establish this principle. But that's not what we are here for. Alright? You know, we need to be technically accurate and spiritually accurate so that anyone that sits under our ministry will know that these things in which I've been instructed are true. We don't have time for babblers. They don't have the capacity to unveil the things in which we most surely believe. That kind of confusion is no longer needed in the body of Christ. Are you still with me? All right, so in the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he said, "I give you power." So I was saying that Jesus, he teaches with metaphors. That's part of his teaching aids. He teaches with parables. Sometimes he teaches with proverbs. That's Jesus. Like you hear Jesus make statements like, in this saying is true. It's not true everywhere, but it's true in this matter that we're talking about, that one sow it and another reap it. In this saying is true. So Jesus was a teacher in context. So you cannot take what Jesus is teaching outside of that context. It is only true because it is held up in the context. Talk context. Truth does not exist in a vacuum. Are you still with me? So in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "You receive power. And this power will give you an enablement that will cause you to be able to tread upon snakes and scorpions." It means you have no power over snakes and scorpions except you have been given power. You'll be a victim of snakes. You'll be a victim of scorpions. It's tomorrow when we go for the minister's conference. The ministers are the ones that need to know snakes and scorpions. and how to deal with snakes and scorpions. It's part of the competence that you need to develop. Are you still with me? Good. So that scripture has confirmed that power is gift-based. He gives it out. And then the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, and ye shall receive power, not because you did anything, but you received power because you received the Holy Ghost. Now, I think I need to press that a little. Maybe to press Acts chapter 1 verse 8 a little, because somebody here thinks that I don't know how to put it. Are you aware that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus did not say, you receive speaking in tongues after that the Holy Ghost will come upon you, but he said you will receive. But all of us can speak in tongues, and not all of us have realized. Now, can I know? This ringtone again. Okay, well, let's leave that. That's okay. Jesus said we will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us, and we'll be witnesses unto him. He didn't say we'll be witnesses for him, but witnesses unto him. What's the meaning of that? You'll be a witness unto me. What's the meaning of that? Oh my God. Now, you see, it's in the court of law that I need a witness. In the court of law, if you bring a witness, somebody that can authenticate my testimony, it means the pendulum of justice is likely to swing in my direction. Our generation does not believe Jesus. They don't believe that who he claims he is, he's who he actually is. So, Jesus is in the dock, he's in court. In the court of the valley of decision in men's heart. And part of the things that will help him to scale in people's heart is an evidence from your life that the Holy Spirit has galvanized, that you can provide exhibits through your life of power, that everything that Jesus said is true. So it means that if your life does not produce power, people will still be doubting Jesus because your life is producing and providing insufficient witness. Do you realize that two of Jesus' disciples came from Bethsaida? And one day Jesus stood and began to curse cities. One of the cities that he laid a curse on was Bethsaida. Imagine you are Jesus' follower. Where are you from? What province are you from? Limpopo. I want to go to your province. We have to arrange it. Imagine that Jesus comes, and when Jesus comes, he says, I'm angry with some provinces, and the first province he mentioned is your province, and you are his disciple. He said, woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were done in you were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Who was the evangelist to Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot. It means that there was a problem with the ministry of Lot. Lot had insufficient witness, because his life could not produce power. So he couldn't convince the people of Sodom. You're not with me. No. You see, I don't even know who you are clapping for. That's the problem. Until we can ascertain who you are clapping for, please, don't clap. When we have agreed that, okay, this clap offering, this is where it is going, and we all agree. If we have not reached that point, keep the clap. There are two things you have in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Stay with me. It's an apostolic conference, so we want to contemplate like sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, there are two things. Don't forget, there are two things. We have spirit and power. You shall receive spirit. And if you know how to deal properly with spirit, it will produce power. Yes, indeed, you have received spirit, because the evidence that you receive spirit is that you speak in tongues. But unfortunately, your journey stopped there. The expectation that God had in mind, for which he gave you spirit, has not been realized, because you have forgotten the conversion principle, how you convert the anointing of the Holy Spirit into your life, on your life, to power. There's a conversion principle. How many of you still remember John the Baptist and the prophecy about John the Baptist in the book of Luke chapter 1? The Bible says it was angel Gabriel that brought that message. And he shall go before him, speaking about John the Baptist, the one that will prepare the way. He shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias the prophet. Now notice that it is spirit and power. Do you see? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive spirit. It will produce power. And John the Baptist received spirit so that his ministry can produce the power of Elijah. But in the book of John chapter 10, verse 40, the Bible says that John did no miracles. It means that John's ministry produced evidence of spirit and received the spirit, but he could not produce evidences of power. That was why his generation missed the visitation of Jesus. They could not recognize Jesus, because the witness that was supposed to witness for him, his witness was insufficient. Our generation will go into Hades if our witness is insufficient. Oh my, you're not with me. Oh yeah, you're not following. You're not. You. Now, understand this. When you see me on the soil of South Africa, I'm not here as a Nigerian. God, Jehovah, he sent me to this land. You don't believe me. Jesus, you know Jesus? He appeared to me and he sent me to three nations. One of which, in fact, the first he mentioned among the three nations is South Africa. So I do not see myself different from you. I see myself one with you, because I am sent as a missionary to this field. Should I tell you something? I've taken my time to investigate South Africa spiritually. With the level of darkness that is in this nation, cheap talk will not bring redemption. See, we need to be So, are you following? Cheap talk won't make it. The Sangoma can command signs. It means that they are providing witness for their altar, their priesthood. And it is likely that they will be able to influence more people than we can when we are powerless. So John the Baptist did not fulfill his full measure in spiritual capacity and investment. He was supposed to go before Jesus in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Oh, I don't have time to weave some scriptures. We are supposed to go to Luke chapter 9, but it's late. So let me stop there. My prayer for you, and the reason for this conference, is that we will overcome the menace of insufficient witness. Where our lives, we have received the Spirit, but there is no evidence of the power. An entire generation missed the move of God because John the Baptist had insufficient witness. For John did no miracles, but the capacity that he had could bring the witness of spirit. You could see that John, even his dress code was a function of inspiration. He walked in the spirit of that anointing. He walked in it. There was evidence that he had contacted the same spirit. He did not learn how to dress like that from a boutique, from a shopping mall. He was inspired. Even his food was inspired. Locusts. And wild, not just honey, wild one. Wild one. The wild one from the comb. Oh my God. That was his menu. It was inspiration that brought him to that corridor. So indeed,
In inspiration, he manifested fully. And you could tell that it was the spirit of Elijah that was upon him, but his life lacked power. So I said, number one, that power is a gift. But I need to show us the conversion principle. Follow me. I will do number one. Hey, where's the time? Is there a clock here? Eight twenty. Oh, we can only do number one this night. Okay. Conversion principle. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 6. Verse 1 to 4. Are you there? All right, stay with me. If you get this, then we have gotten it. Yeah? Give me some volume there. Just a little volume on that. Look for strings. Not every... What? No, this string is wrong. Look for another strings. It's too noisy. Look for that is deeper. And stay there. Come with me. He said, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, when their numbers did not multiply, this kind of crisis never came. I know, Pastor K, you are praying for growth, praying for explosion. Indeed, you are going to see explosion. But with explosion comes challenges, comes troubles. And we need to know how to tackle those troubles, because it's the will of God for explosion to come. The Bible says in the multitude of people is the king's honor. So it's his will. But you see, when the number of the disciples begin to multiply, the Bible says there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Don't increase that volume. Stay there. Yeah, next one. Okay. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. It will take us a few conferences before we arrive at verse 4. We'll do some other trainings before we arrive there. It's a long journey. When you will know what it means to minister the word of God. Verse 5. I was trusting you again. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And you will discover that in this list, it was only Stephen whose curriculum vitae was read out. So use Stephen as a denominator. Stephen, what's his credential? He's full of faith and full of what? The Holy Ghost. Are you still following? Okay, jump to verse 8. Can I trust this man? And Stephen, full of faith, and can you see that the anointing of the Holy Ghost on the life of Jesus had been Stephen had been converted to power. Initially, what was it? Full of faith and what? Holy Ghost. Subsequently, what was it? Full of faith and power. Why is it that you did not migrate? So we cannot write chapter 8 in your name. You are delaying the manifestation of chapter 8. So, the question tonight is, how do we convert the anointing of the Holy Ghost to power? Because Jesus did not say, you will receive speaking in tongues. But he said, you will receive power. The evidence that you receive the Holy Ghost, thank glory to God, the initial evidence is speaking in tongues. But subsequently, the evidence will be power. That even if you come and you don't speak in tongues and we see power, we will know that, he chose not to speak in tongues because he has another evidence to show that I've been in touch with what? The Holy Ghost. So now we need to talk about the conversion factor. Conversion factor. Let us go to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, beginning from verse number 1. We're still talking about power. Power is gift-based. So I gave you that definition and I was supposed to go to authority. So I will do power. I just felt that I should do conversion factor. It's not in my script. But I saw that there was hunger, so I had to modify the script to add conversion factor. If I notice another hunger again, I will add another aspect. But originally, I just wanted to teach you and say power is gift-based. That's all. But I saw hunger. Now, here we are. The Bible says that Jesus, this is after Jesus went for John the Baptist's baptismal service. And what happened in John's baptism was accreditation. I don't have time to take you to the book of John chapter 1 to show you the marching orders that John received before he began baptism. He was right there in the wilderness and then the Lord sent his word to him right there in the wilderness. Alright? That was the day of his manifestation. Then he moved from the wilderness and moved to Jordan. God told him that the strategy by which he can identify the Messiah was through water. I don't have time to take you to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 6, 2. It will give you more light. It will just give you more light. But I can say what I want to say through John chapter 1. Are you there? The strategy by which he was going to identify the Messiah was baptism. So that was why John came and began to baptize. Because the marching orders he was given is that when you are doing your baptism and you see the Holy Ghost come down and remain upon any man, that man is going to be him that will have the authority to baptize men by fire. So you will need to be a Baptist before you can find the baptizer. And the baptizer is higher in the hierarchy of baptism, such that the one that baptizes with water doesn't have the rank to be able to untie the latchet of the sandal of the baptizer. So you will need to become a Baptist so that you can find the baptizer. That was why John left the wilderness for the first time. After how many years? 24 years. Because John left home at 6 and began to feed on wild honey and locusts. I was there in the wilderness where John stayed for 24 years. The rabbis were the ones that told us that he left home by 6. So he was there for 24 years. It was at 30 years that the word of the Lord came to him in the wilderness. And what they did in the wilderness was a training. Because they noticed that that's what the rabbis told us. This is not the Bible. The rabbis said that, you see, oh my God, I will need to take you through history for you to understand the politics. Now, when the Israelites were in Babylon, that's why you have the book of Daniel. Okay? Then, do you still remember Cyrus? He gave an utterance by the mouth of God and gave a decree that the children of Israel can go back and build the temple and build the wall. And that's how Nehemiah came. That's how Ezra came into manifestation. Are you there? When they were coming back to reestablish, they had a challenge. The challenge that they had was that they needed a new kind of leader. Just like the body of Christ right now needs a new kind of leader. Someone that has competence in interpreting the law so that the way to God can be known to every citizen of the land. Because there had been a break of transmission. Even the lineage of priesthood was in doubt. They were trying to do genealogies and scribes were trying to trace families. Everything was in disarray. A new kind of leader had to rise. That was not a high priest or the Levite. That was not necessarily in the priesthood, but one that had competence in establishing the truths of the Torah. Are you there? This new regime produced two possible extremes in Torah interpretation. And that's why in the days of Jesus, you are going to find the Pharisees. You are going to find the Sadducees. I don't have time to tell you about the politics. Oh, how did I get here? What was I trying to tackle that brought me here? John the Baptist. Yes. You see, I'm preaching from my spirit, you know. So, you see, the Pharisees were conservationists. The Sadducees were modernists. The Sadducees felt that Judaism should be reinterpreted to capture current social reality so that their religion will not be reaching back into hallowed antiquity. And the Pharisees believed that the ancient traditions, the ancient dogma, the ancient practices must be restored without any form of interruptions and modernization. So two theological blocks emerged from the desire of that leader. Are you with me? You're not with me. So the rabbis in Israel now said that the dichotomy between, in fact, I don't want to go into the politics. I can show you in the book of Acts, I will show you at this time, the Sanhedrin had a higher Sadducee population. Why? I'll show you the evidences. Because I will show you the teachings of the Sadducees. I will show you the teachings of the Pharisees. I can show you in the book of Acts, at this time, they had a higher Pharisee population. Yes, I can do that, but that's not why we're here. Are you still following me? So John the Baptist. What happened was that they saw that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not hold the position of the truth. None of them. So these guys went into the wilderness. And they began to study the Torah. It took them about 20-something years to understand really the time that the Messiah would come. Because it was only him that could strike the balance. Because the Pharisees were here, the Sadducees were there. And now it's only Messiah that can strike the balance. So all of that took place for about 20-something years. And then when they began to understand that the time was near, they were supposed to be graduated from that school. It was on the day before graduation that the Holy Spirit came on John. So John was the only one missing from the graduation. That's why he migrated to Jordan. That was what the Pharisees told us, the rabbis. He migrated that day to Jordan. And he began his baptism. And what he was looking for was the baptizer. And when Jesus came, even though they were related in the flesh, he could not identify him through studying the family tree. He had to baptize. And he gave his record in the book of John chapter 1. That he beheld in the spirit. And he confirms that this man is the Son of God. Because his marching orders were confirmed in the things that happened when he came out of the water. God, the Father, was the one that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." God, the Holy Spirit, descended in bodily shape like a dove and remained upon him. So John gave his witness in the book of John chapter 1. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, the next step after that baptism, because the Father's comment was that, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know, in the educational system, people that are excellent, we grade them A. What's A in South Africa? Is it 60? Is it 70? 80 to 100, that's A. What's B? Okay, you know it. Now, Jesus was A. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You expect that when somebody makes an A, they will retain him or give him a job. But instead, the Father sends him to the wilderness. Yeah, so he sends his best. To the wilderness. You are doing well. You are serving God. You are striking the God. We have to send Ntutuko to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You know, whenever you see a car, Mercedes-Benz, for that engine to qualify to be Mercedes-Benz, it must run for 1,000 hours on the bench. If it can't make 1,000 hours, it's not Mercedes-Benz. It's not qualified to be called Benz. That kind of test is what we call company quality assurance test. But the type that Jesus was being deployed to face was not a company test. It was an outsourced test. Another agent outside the company is going to be the one that will test him. Pastor K, do you know? Do you know that it's in this outsourced test that ministers either become fake or fervent? It's the outcome of that test that will determine whether you do fake miracles, you stage, you lying wonders, or you are accurate. It is men that fail that test that normally go to ally with the devil to get power from the devil, because they already know them on the pulpit, to come use demonic power to do pulpit business. That's the kind of thing that we have in the book of Acts chapter 8. Do you still remember Simon the sorcerer? It is the Bible that told us he's a sorcerer. But in the city, his name was that he was the great power of God. Could it be that Simon the sorcerer was sent to the wilderness and he failed the test? He was disqualified by heaven. And then Satan now gave him a proposal. It's heaven that disqualified you, not me. I can give you something. Since they already knew him in ministry, he came back. And he was able to earn the title in the territory, the great power of God. I think that's a better lecture for the ministers. That test. You will discover that Jesus was asked to go to the wilderness to be tested. Huh? He was not going there to fast. That was not why he went there. He went there to be what? Do you realize that Jesus arrived the testing arena before the tester? Oh, you are not following. That's not time for amens. Cool down. Listen to me. Jesus was to be tested. He arrived the testing ground before the one that will test him. Oh, you are used to amen, eh? When he arrived at the testing ground before the tester, he decided to take up a fast. He was not advised by his father to take up. It was his own evaluation of the situation. You are not following. You know, most of you entered into marriage and went to Cape Town. Honeymoon on Table Mountains. You were running naked on the beach. So the devil, the tester arrived, the testing ground before you realized. Your life today, the only time you enjoyed was Cape Town when you ran on the beach. When you came back, you are still living in the regime of that test because you did not go early. You did not go early to the testing grounds. I don't have time. I don't have time. I have not, Pastor K, I have not gone for honeymoon. Yes. Yes. Because you would have heard that my wife died. Yes. They came for her on the 14th day of our wedding. That was the day I was ordained the reverend with a collar. They sent a coffin. My wife's spirit had left her body. It was when I came out of the bedroom, of the bathroom, the spirit went back. Oh, would have been burying my wife the day I was ordained. Yes. So the fasting that, you know, the luck I had was, I was to be ordained 14 days after my wedding, so I started fasting from my wedding. I came to the island of testing. And I didn't know why I was fasting. I thought it was because I was going to be ordained. I didn't know that the tempter was going to come. Darkness will show up. So I have not gone for 16 years. It is this year. I want to come in December. Yes. Here, I want to come to... I saw one beautiful place in South Africa. I said, Jesus Christ. This is the place. It's time. So I've been up... Oh my God, you don't understand. You went to run on the beach. And you forgot that the tester was coming. You were eating candy instead of you to starve your spirit, to starve your flesh so that you can stuff your spirit. Jesus took on the strategy of fasting and prayer. Because in fasting, are you there? You starve your flesh so that the environment cannot control you. The flesh is weak. It can't respond. If you find someone that talks too much, talks in the night, describes people's head, and their eyelashes. Put the person on 7 days dry fasting. On the 7th day, say, how are you? You find out that the flesh is weak. The mouth has been disconnected because the flesh is weak. You see, oh, you can't stop fornication. No problem. When we put you on 7 days dry, even if you see a naked woman, you'll be singing him. Because... May the Lord give you understanding. That's how we prepare for tests. So that nothing in the environment can affect you. That's why you fast. So that you can influence the environment. That's why you pray. Prayer is for influence. Fasting is so that you cannot be influenced. And that was what Jesus did. By the time the tester came, it was a walkover. For every question that came, every test that came, he responded from his spirit. It is written. Then Satan wanted to teach Jesus that he can quote the Bible too. Is it not written? That he shall give his angels charge over you. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against any stone. But you see, Psalms 91 is a conditional psalm. The protection that is captured there is dependent on verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the promise he was quoting was not connected to the requirement that was captured in verse 1. So if Jesus would have obeyed that, that scripture was lacking in its foundation. May you not quote scriptures out of context, because truth cannot exist in a vacuum. When Jesus had that victory, notice there were three things that happened. First, fasting, prayer, and then third, contention. He contended with the prince of the territory. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Give me that on the screen quickly. Are you there? Who is there? Where's my man? He goes to sleep. Oh, Jesus. Ah. I think I'm the one that is wrong this time. Let me get my scripture. Give me 2 minutes. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Let's count it again. First of all, he went to the wilderness. He arrived at the testing grounds before the tester. He decided to take up fasting and prayer as a strategy. Then he confronted the prince of the territory. This was how he returned. And Jesus returned in power. So the conversion took place in the wilderness. Because he got anointed with the Holy Ghost at the waters of Jordan. Then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What did he do in the wilderness? He fasted. He prayed. And what? He confronted. So there are three items for conversion. Fasting. Do you do that consistently? How many days do you fast? Sister. You like sausages? You like it at the expense of power. You like meat pie? Tibelang? It will be at the expense of power. Spiritual warfare. God allows warfare in your life. It's not all negative. It's a gym, the gym of the spirit, so that you can develop muscles and develop faith. Principle. Are you with me? Let me go this way. So power is based. Do you get that? Authority is not gift-based. Authority is relationship-based. Don't forget the conversion principle. Are you with me? You want your business to prosper. For those of you that have personal businesses, let me say on. Okay, put it down. Are you aware that Satan... Are you aware of that? You are not aware. You don't know that. At least we Africans are not spiritual novices. You are not aware that Satan can give somebody money. Okay, just in case you are not aware, I'm telling you. If Satan wants to give somebody money, he doesn't send him to business school. He asks him for his daughter, first daughter. Are you with me? Just to show you that financial influence, economic influence is a spiritual thing. Don't think that because you understand economics and how money works, that's enough reason for you to. If you have a personal business, you want to prosper, you must set up an altar there. There is a time that consultancy stops so that we can pray. If you do that regularly, as you pray in those meetings, you begin to receive prophetic words, instructions on what to do. If you have not yet started receiving instructions, you can't prosper for long. Maybe some other time I could come and teach you prosperity by the Holy Ghost. It's not about all share index and market capitalization. You set up an altar. And then you honor God in that place. You become the system, the back end of that system. Attacks can come it will never affect. Because it's rooted in the power of the Spirit. The power of the Holy Ghost is the instrument God has given us to be able to wade off darkness. And that's why the first thing that happened to Jesus when he got filled with the Holy Ghost was that he was dispatched into the wilderness to confront the prince of the territory. So sometimes if God wants to give you power, what he does is that he allows crisis. A crisis is supposed to move you into prayer and fasting so that you have authority to deal with that which is responsible for the crisis. When you win that victory, you are given first rank and God will be able to commit power to you. So the anointing with which you are fighting becomes transformed, converted into power that you can dispense. Do you realize that the Bible says that it is God that gives power to get wealth? One of the manifestations of power is the ability to get wealth. That power manifests that way. Just like power can create miracles, power can create signs, power can also manifest in form of the ability to get wealth. Jesus knows that without power, we are handicapped. Just like the devil can boast of giving people wealth, God has our wealth. The wealth principle is tied to power. Demons will want you to operate under the influence of famine, but when you discover power, the reason why you stay in wealth is because you found power. Number one. On authority side, authority is relationship based. Mark chapter 3 verse 14. So that is number one. We have number one to number six. Before we go to part two. We must finish this weekend. Huh? Part two has A, B. So I'm wondering how we can squeeze that into four sessions. Yeah, this is authority. And he ordained 12 that there should be with him. What is their preoccupation? What is their assignment? Be with him. And that he might send them forth to preach. Can you see? The reason for which he ordained them is be with me. And then can you see that the preaching aspect is a probability? Maybe. Maybe he might send them. Maybe he might release them to preach. He might send them on an errand. And if he's going to send you on an errand, if you have been with him, he will give you authority to show that he's the one that sent you. So power is gift-based. And you still remember the conversion factor? But authority is relationship-based. So if I can manifest authority, are you there? You're not there. You're not there. Jesus came and Jesus healed the sick. Then the Pharisees showed up. They examined the person that was healed. They saw that the healing was authentic. They brought doctors like Rodney. Brought doctors like O'Kezier. They ran, analysis. Okay, this healing is valid. They generated medical reports that the condition that this person was said to be in no longer is applicable. So the Pharisees knew that the miracle was genuine, but their problem with Jesus was not the efficacy, the verity of the miracle. Their problem with Jesus was, by whose authority doest thou these things? Stay with me. There is a nurse. It's an anesthetic nurse. He's been in surgeries for 22 years. Surgeries, all kinds of surgeries. And because he has seen the procedure for 22 years, he can perform surgeries accurately. So he operates people in his house. He has a theater in his house. None of his patients have died. But the reason we are querying him is not that the patients died. We were asking for, where did you get the license to practice? Are you following?
Oh, you are not following.
One of the questions we must ask to find out if we are fake or genuine is the source of the authority. People think that the probe finishes if you can do a wonder, especially in Africa. If somebody can do wonders, they say, "Oh, he's carrying God." That position is weak. You will die with demons, with devils, if your evaluation stops at that level. Because many preachers have gone to strange places to source power. So we need to go beyond miracles. We need to ask for, who gave you the authority? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. Maybe that's the next time we come, we'll look at the prophetic office for 3 days. You will find out that most of the people that say they are prophets in Africa are not. I assure you, when we are done with that lecture, meticulously, we'll look at every prophet in the Bible. There are 5 types of prophets in the Bible. Each one of them, these are the trainings they went through. This is how they are. It surprises you that the people you went to meet, you traveled, you paid for your ticket to go there. That's why when you came back, your problem was not solved. It compounded. Right now, you are in a roller coaster. You're on a conveyor belt. You don't know how to describe your life. So if you say you are a prophet, and we can trace 3 ladies that you slept with, you are using the spirit of divination. Because what the spirit of divination feeds on is immorality. If we can find as much as 3, because nothing can get mixed up like the prophetic anointing. It's you know, are you there? Like water is the universal solvent. Anything, it can dissolve anything. The prophetic anointing is a universal solvent. Any small thing that touches it. So you have 9 gates. There are 9 openings in your body. Think about it. That's why there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. If you cannot keep your 9 gates, you are not a prophet. The disciplines and dealings you will go through is so that you can be a master of the 9 gates. We have rolling stones in Africa, and we call them prophets. Are we a joke? Is somebody joking? You think our God is a joke? The next time I'm coming, Pastor, okay? We are going to look at the prophetic office. Then I will show you the 5 types of prophets. Then you will realize that on the continent of Africa, prophets are few. And apostles are even more few. Because if you are going to be an apostle, are you with me? You must accept, even tell your wife, you must accept death first. Because most of us end in jail. Most of us are killed as martyrs. If you have not accepted it, don't. I know you like titles. You like. You are a joke. You don't even know what you are talking about. You think it's about getting a tie, about coming and you put seats together. How you gather people? If Jesus has never appeared to you to give you an instruction, to send you on errand, you are not an apostle. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I know you people think ministry is like getting a degree from a university. The reason why the apostle can operate as a prophet and evangelist and a pastor is because he is dead. Like someone going into the military, he signs that, yes, I agree that I will die. I can die in the line of my duty. That is the apostolic calling. It's a calling that can expose you to ultimate sacrifice for the cause of Jesus. Only John the Beloved died a natural death. So you want the things of this world, you want glory, the glory of this world. So you come in your car, then you people serving you, and then you are saying, yeah, I'm here. It means you have not been in the wilderness. That's why you are fake. You are looking for, you are moving. I say, yeah. You know, I just came. I just came from New York, and I was in Spain. I was in Spain, and I glory. You don't even know what you are talking. You are playing with things that are too deep. The time for the recovery in Africa is now. But for instance, you can't speak the way I do if you are not ready to die. Think about it. Except the Lord doesn't speak to me. If not, in the morning I will wake up. And as I set my face like this, it's only if God wills that I will live. And that's why He gives me authority. So that if I say, it will come to pass. He ordained 12 that they might be with Him. You know, you don't believe me. Okay. No, let's leave it. So let me just give you a sign. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. This is not in this lecture. I'm just saying something. Are you there? Part of what God... Now, can we keep the amen? Can you be quiet? Is it possible for you to be quiet? Is it possible? Just be quiet, please. When the Lord sent us to SA, we knew He had prepared brethren, that will partner together to bring education to the body of Christ. Before we go into prophecy and miracles, we need to learn the ways of our Master. Every year until I breathe my last, we'll come. If we need to stay for a while, so that we can educate the body of Christ. I've not come here to... The purpose of my coming is to strengthen the body of Christ. And I will strengthen the body by taking sides with the truth, not with what you like to hear. Those are the things you hear. You heard for years and you are in bondage. Truth is forceful. Truth is the tone of a government. This is Apostle Paul. He said, can we stop? Is it possible? If we get another I will stop. And I won't come tomorrow. I will come in the evening. If we get another one, we need to... You can't go before Satan and be doing No. If we get one more, we shut down. And I will not come in the morning. Come in the evening. We get in the evening. I will not come for Sunday. He said, am I not an apostle? He's talking about the justification, the proof of his apostleship. Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not my work in the Lord? So in the apostolic, we should be able to present people that your life influenced, that became messengers of Jesus, willing to do His will. I'm not talking about cloning. They talk like you and their hairstyle is like yours. That's cloning. I'm talking about covering your spiritual influence on the person. Was able to help the person to know Jesus for himself. Okay? He said, have I not seen the Lord? Every apostle, Jesus appears to every one that is apostolic, that he sends on an errand. Part of what he has sent me to do is to come to South Africa. You will hear news. You will hear the news of people, witches that we confess very soon. I think first, second, third trip. You will hear. You will know that Jesus sent us. That's why we need to test ourselves in Limpopo. Are you with me? Because if it is true that Jesus sent you, he should give you authority to represent him. And he ordained the 12 that they might be with him. So if we see you wielding authority from Jesus, it's proof that you were with Jesus. Did you get that? That's number one. So I need to show you what this is practical. We have moved from theory. So we have come to practical. In this practical, I need to teach you what we need to do corporately so that we can secure the hand of God. Then when we secure the hand of God, I will operate with the hand of God. Is that clear? Now, forget about your neighbor, person sitting by your side. Maybe your husband is sitting by your side, your wife is sitting by your side. Forget about her briefly. And then we are going to exercise our spirit in the Holy Ghost for 5 minutes. Is it possible? Forget about the person sitting by your side. Just close up and focus on Jesus. And Jesus alone, and exercise your spirit. Exercise your spirit. Exercise your spirit. Exercise your spirit. I didn't say keep quiet. I said exercise. There's some mechanical energy. Some mechanical energy. Some mechanical energy in your spirit. You are going to take advantage of that mechanical energy. In Jesus' name. Now, you don't need to stand up. We're still in the lecture. If you stand up, you'll be distracted. Just leave the ushers. And do not allow the presence of the ushers to distract you. We're still in the lecture. Power. Power is noisy. There is somebody in this room, as I see in the spirit, that when this person was 13 years old, the person had a visitation from God. And I can see that an angel of the Lord visited that person. What the angel of the Lord brought to you was a garment, a spiritual garment. It's like linen. And that garment is the grace to carry the presence of God. The person that I'm talking about is female. You lost the presence of God because you were careless. And right now the Lord is restoring it. And in the next 7 seconds, the hand of God will restore that presence upon your life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ushers, if you find the people implicated by, Jesus. If you find the people implicated by my utterance, you bring them. Oh my God, see, it's on somebody. as much as possible, just stay focused. I'm still teaching. It's just that this is practical. We will do straight ministration on Saturday night. That's when we'll do miracle service. But this one is a lecture. So this thing, are you with me? So this is power. Come. This is power. When power, you see, when power comes on an individual, so that's power. Now, I want to increase the power. All I need to do is to touch her. So the power has increased. If I want to increase the power on this lady, what I will do, I'll blow on her. That's power. If I want to increase the power of God, hey, wait. You are not with me. This is, what's the name of this water? This is natural spring water. Is that true? It's not from Nigeria. This water is from South Africa. Can we confirm that? Yes. Great. So, Pastor K, can you hold this?
No, sit down.
Now, so that is power. Are you following me? Oh my God, you are not following me. Pastor K, do you have a handkerchief? All right, this is Baloye's handkerchief. It's not mine, it's not from Nigeria, okay? It's from Pretoria. He brought it in from Pretoria. Are you with me? Oh yeah, you're not with me. Niveland, do you have a bag? Let me see your bag. That's my daughter from Botswana. So, we will use Tibelang's bag as a conductor. It's a conductor. Power. The bag is too heavy. I don't want you to be wounded. Do you allow me to? Do I have your permission? Okay, let's change the bag. We need a smaller bag. Because this. Okay. First of all, take your phone out. Sorry. So, can I? I don't want to throw it so that you don't get power. Stand up. You. Hold this bag. Just hold it. Hold it. So, you see, there will be a transmission. Don't worry. Give me the bag. Give me the bag. Yeah. So. Yeah, so. See. The bag. See. Okay. This is from this is from Pretoria. It's power. I'm just showing you power. I'm conducting it through water, this, right? Handkerchief. So, if you have power and you are going with your bag, a thief cannot steal it. Because I can drop it for you. Try to carry it. Then you will know that there's something on it. You will not be doing at the motor park. You start dancing. Because you came in contact with what? Are you there? This is the first level. Listen to me. Another level of power. I don't need to use anything to conduct it. There are two angels in this hall. One is standing to my right and one is standing to my left. Two of them will go to the back. They will go to the back in 21 seconds. And one will pick one there, one will pick one there. That's power. So, it's counting now for 21 seconds. One will pick one there, one will pick one there. One will pick one there, one will pick one there. He's coming, it's 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 coming. Have you found the one there? So this is power. We can do this for 4 hours. This what I'm doing. I can continue doing it. As long as I can hear God, I follow his instructions, it will produce power. Now come. Come. Take this handkerchief. Put it on her and leave it. So it's below you is a handkerchief, it's conducting power. Are you there? Come. Yeah. Now this is one of the ladies that the angel of the Lord put his hand upon. So oh my God. Then you see, a yoke just broke from her life. That's what power does. Are you with me? You are not with me. Come, I want to release a blessing on you. But before I do that, I need to break something. It's limiting you. All right. Now, I will hold her here. A yoke on her life will break now. Hey, yo. So. All right. So. Okay. The yoke is breaking. When it breaks, then I'll give her a blessing. In 2 years' time, after that blessing, you will see what will come out of her life. Now, are you with me? Power is tangible. Now, I will stretch my hand in this direction. That's power. I'll stretch it. Then the power of God will begin to go in that direction. To begin to go in that direction. It will begin to go in that direction. To begin to go in that direction. Okay, oh my God. It will come stronger. 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 That's power. Where's my handkerchief? Oh, okay. So that's power. Now I'll show you some examples on authority. Are you still with me? Oh, and there's a fire coming from heaven. There's a fire. There's a fire. It's coming from heaven. It's coming from heaven. I don't know who this fire, but it's coming so strong, so strong. Now listen. Are you still with me in the class? Okay. Okay, I think... don't worry. No, don't stand up. Just sit. Just sit. So the power gifts will begin to operate in your life more fluently. Name of Jesus. Okay, are you still in the class? If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
There's somebody in this auditorium. You have a problem with your one of your ears. One of your ears, and as I speak to you, it is difficult for you to even take a call with that ear. You use the other one to take the call. If you are the one I'm talking about, can you stand on your feet? Especially the one that the ear that has a trouble, a problem, is your left. Is it left? Left. Yours is right? Okay, don't worry. Just keep standing. Stand, stand. Don't worry, sister. Stand. The Lord told me left, which I've confirmed. But we can add any other person that is in the same category. What ear? Left? Left. Just stand where you are. All right, so. Okay, this is not part of the lecture. This is administration. There's someone that has been attempting a certain business for 3 years. And you have met with roadblocks. You have met with challenges. A certain time you were frustrated. And recently you got back on your feet again that we're going to pursue the business. If you are the one I'm talking about, for 3 years you've been struggling trying to set up that business. For 3 years. You can stand. When you stand, wave your hand to me so that I will know you are the one. Okay, so you are not many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Since you are not many, can you come? Okay, you can come. Stand where you are. Put your hand on your chest. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand with these brethren. That demons of famine have been sent to frustrate them in business. We destroy any premise, any ground upon which these demons have found their authority to influence the fortunes of these ones. And we break the hold, we break the yoke. We release them into destiny. Let grace come upon them. Make them plenteous in Jesus' mighty name. So those business people, sit down. By this time next year, because we'll be here. By this time next year, you will have a testimony. Okay, let's continue. No. You are clapping for the wrong person. I'll need to teach you how to clap for Jesus. That's not how. So the people with the ear, are you still up? All right, so this is what you will do. Take this finger. Now, I don't want too many people standing apart from ushers and doctor. Are you also with the ear? Okay. take, if it's this ear, you take this finger, close the ear that has problems. If it's this one, take this finger, close. Can you do that? Close it completely, not like this. Close it like this. Completely. Have you done that? Huh? So now, let me talk about authority. Authority is like a command, a decree. A decree from a high office. A decree from a judge. A decree. Yeah, that's what it is. So, authority is exercised through decrees. All right, I'm going to decree now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these ones that are standing here. And this moment, I bind every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits, be bound and come out of the ears in the name of Jesus. Deafening spirits, be bound, come out of the ears in the name of Jesus. So I want to give a decree now. Ear. Hear. 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 In the name of Jesus. Remove the hand from the ear. Use the other hand. Remove that hand. Remove it completely. Use the other hand and block the ear that can hear perfectly. If you are standing or sitting close to them, help them test that ear now. Like this. If you are standing or sitting close to any one of them, can you conduct a test? If they can hear, you that did the test, raise your hand and alert me. So that one can hear. That sister can hear. This sister can hear. That sister can hear. If he cannot hear, you let me know. Yeah? This brother can hear. If he cannot hear, just refer to me. Okay? Don't make anything happen. Just, good. That one cannot hear. Are you people working for me there? So you are not reporting. If she cannot hear, you do like this. If she can hear, okay, that one cannot hear. Okay, what about this? Oh my God. You that cannot hear. He cannot hear. Okay. He cannot. I didn't ask you to move. You can't follow instructions. You come. Come to me. So can I bless you now? Are you ready? How old are you? So I give you 2 years. In 2 years, your desires will be granted. Don't fight. Allow God from today to 2 years. He will transform you. So his hand comes upon you in the next 9 seconds. In 9 seconds. All right, are you still with me? Yeah, so this is one of the sisters, okay? Now, how long have you had this ear issue?
Since 2018.
2019. So what happened? Were you slapped or did demons visit you in your dream?
No, I don't know. I would hear a ringing in my ear.
You hear a ringing in your ear? Yeah. That's the problem for which you stood up.
And the hearing was also affected.
Okay, so it affected your hearing.
Yes, sir.
So what happened? Did you feel anything before you began to hear? Or you just noticed that you could hear?
No, when I took out the finger, it was much louder than...
Okay, you took out the finger and you heard taking your finger out?
It was like I took out my finger, okay. And it was amplified.
It was amplified?
Yeah.
Now, you see, are you with me? This is authority. I just spoke. Then her ear began to hear. You know why? Because it was caused by a demon. So I addressed the demon, and then the ear began to hear. This authority. Do you see the difference? Come. It is permanent. In Jesus' name. Let's ask her of her experience. Yeah? How long have you had challenges hearing with that ear?
It's from this year, I think around, I can't remember the month, but it's
okay, sometime this year.
Yes.
So what happened to you? Did you have an accident? Did somebody slap you?
I was sleeping and then I saw a spirit come and it wanted me to say I reject Jesus.
Now, she was sleeping in the night and the spirit came and did what?
It wanted me to reject Jesus.
Okay, wanted you to reject Jesus.
And when I refused.
She refused to reject Jesus, the demon now slapped you.
Both my ears.
Both your ears and one of your ears stopped hearing. Now, I just want you to know that deafness is demonic. So all we do in authority is that we command the demons. Go. You see, the Bible says, and the people were amazed and say, what a word is this? For with power and authority, he commanded the unclean spirits and they obey him. So this one obeyed. Yeah, she's, oh my God. I'm just testing if the demon is still there. So let us take a typical, yes, you cannot hear, come. Because we need to find out why he's not here. Because you might go to the crusade ground and find someone. Are you there? Okay, you have a microphone. All right. So which of the ears can you hear with?
Left.
You can hear with this one?
No, I can hear with this one.
You can hear with this one?
Yes, sir.
And you cannot hear with this one?
Yes, sir.
For how long has that been?
It's been a while.
A while, I don't know. We need time. Yeah.
Maybe it's been like 10 years.
Like 10 years.
Yes, sir.
So that ear is completely deaf.
Yeah, I hear...
A little?
Yeah, very little.
Okay, so he's been in this condition for 10 years. Oh, Jesus Christ, come here. Somebody put something on you. This one is not lecture, this one is... Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask, Lord, that you roll away this stone. Roll away this stone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What you could not do before, go and try it again. Go. So, we have a condition here. It's been like this for 10 years. And I spoke to it and it did not change. What do you do? You know what you do? It means you need further insight to be able to handle the matter. Are you there? So we are going to pray in tongues for 5 minutes to get further insight to handle the matter. Don't get discouraged. Maybe you prayed and nothing happened. Don't feel ashamed. You know what you need? Further insight. So for 5 minutes, what's your name? Tunde.
Yes, sir.
Brother Tunde. So we are going to pray in tongues for 5 minutes. Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm seeing strange things, but let's try to focus if we can. We'll pray. His name is Tunde. Can we ask the Lord Jesus? Open his ears. Let us pray. Ask Jesus to open the ears. Useli moho bamaya. Iskobe malis ebrezo zalahaite. Yaloman seli kobre mahaisa ura masiko. Rumena saila huke selimonde helekadelia.
Rumena Saila, Ure Kaskido Bronda Haba Kapaluskedi. Rumena Saila, Hambelo Kubri. Isamai Tobelandeli. In Jesus' name.
So how did this situation start? Did you fight?
No. I just find out that I'm losing.
You are losing hearing.
Hearing from
and,
this.
And end. There's no, for no just cause. No, remove. Have you tested her?
Yes.
She was. Were you totally deaf on that ear?
Yes.
You were totally deaf on the ear.
Yes.
But you can hear. Can you hear?
Yes, I can hear that, but...
You can hear this? Okay.
As you were talking, I didn't hear.
Good. That's good. That's also very good. So, I will not be addressing you, but God will. So, this is the ear that cannot hear.
This whole part doesn't work. This whole side of my left side. The whole side.
Okay.
Mm.
What happened to it?
It's not working.
It's not okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, so including the ear?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm not going to pray for her. She'll get healed. Now, Tunde,
sir.
This ear cannot hear.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I put my hand here. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Lord, we break the yoke of the devil. We destroy it. And we bind the deafening spirit. Deafening spirit, be bound. Come out of the ears in the name of Jesus. Ear. Oh, my. Hear. Hear. Here. Here. Okay. Let's try again.
Okay.
She's on the floor. Why? She fell down by herself. Okay. So remove that hand. Or test the ear now. Can you hear that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can hear that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can hear that, sir. We are still in the lecture. What instruction did I receive? Additional insight. The Holy Spirit said, use your own hand to block the ear. Nobody knows how to perform miracles, only the Holy Ghost. So when we hear that the Bible says the Lord teaches our hands to fight, our fingers to war, it means none of us is capable of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is prosecuted by hearing God at the spur of the moment, obeying him, then his mighty hand goes to work. So there is no miracle that is impossible. What you need, if it doesn't happen, is more... What? Let us see if the miracle has evaporated.
Yes, sir. Clearly, sir.
So Tunde can hear clearly. Let's find out from... Can you hear?
With this one, no.
With which one? No, this one.
This one is fine.
Uh-huh.
This one is the one that...
Completely deaf.
It's vividly picked up, but the one that I'm using the most is with this one.
Okay,
because this one,
so it's okay.
Know.
So let's test mommy. Mommy says, can you hold this for me? All right, so. Yeah, so just... Oh, my. Okay. So give her some time. She's in the intensive care unit of the grace of God. You know, when you touch someone like this, and the power of God comes on the person, don't be in a hurry as an usher to raise the person. No, that's the intensive care unit. Jesus is performing a surgery. Allow him to finish. Okay? So Jesus has finished. Find out from her if she can hear. Come. The reason why I prayed for you is not even for the ear, it's for the half of your body that you said the devil. You went to the wrong place. It was a barrier. You went for a barrier. And when you went there, you were shot with an arrow. And then that part of your body began to develop challenges. And now what we are doing now is the surgery to remove the arrow. So you got three of them. And now you have one. Let me prove it to you. No, come. Come on. Okay, take this hand. Hit her here 3 times. 1, 2, 3. Remove your hand. You see? That's where the arrow is. So in 2 minutes, you'll be fine. When you notice it doesn't happen, what do you need?
More inside.
More inside. Don't ever accept defeat. Now, take that matter as an assignment. It may not happen instantly, but take it as an assignment that I must find out why. If you are that determined, God will take you seriously. Are you still with me? Tunde?
Sir.
You look for Amelia. Have we met before?
No, sir.
We've never met. Okay, let me bless you.
I always watch you, sir.
Yeah, you can go back to your seat. Are you with me? All right. So that's authority. It's decrees. And authority is not about shouting. You don't need to shout. Just speak. Huh? If there's authority on your tongue, it will manifest. You just speak. For instance, there is a lady here who has been having terrible pains on the stomach. It is below your abdomen. That one is the gift of word of knowledge. That's what I used. Okay? It's a gift. It's not as if I know it. I know it because the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. Where's the lady? She has a pain. She's been struggling. No, don't worry. Don't worry. Do you know that? Come. Are you afraid? Don't be afraid. Come. You're a victim of a spell. Who are you fighting with?
But now, before you called me, I've been telling the lady next to me that I need to go out. It's so.
So the Holy Spirit now reveals that. Are you still ready to help me? Because you were not ready to help me last time.
I'm ready to help you,
sir. Okay, you want to help. Okay. So give me your hand. I will transfer some power to you. And then you'll use the power as I direct you. Huh? Don't worry. The power is coming. It's coming. It has not come yet. Okay, it's coming now. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. So I'm just transferring. You know, power is transferable. Jesus gave them power. He said, take some power and go and do stuff. So that's, I'm just releasing some power to her. Okay. Even though that is enough, but I want to give her some more to help her. You see, she has been having attacks and they are manifesting her dreams. So this one I'm giving her now is to take care of. Okay, so she can help me now. So when she recovers herself, let me know. Don't worry. It's okay. Are you okay? So you see, the people that trained us in ministry, they don't allow us to touch women. That's the reason why I need your help. You come like this, and then you tap it. 1, 2, 3. Can you do that?
Yes,
not too hard, just like this. Because you are so, I know you are strong, but say no. We don't need your strength. We need just see 1, 2, 3. Then stop. Yeah? No, wrong. See, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You did not do what I wanted. You are afraid. And I can't touch her. Let's try again. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Leave it. Don't worry. It will hurt. Then it will stop. someone in the congregation as I round up. Okay, you have taken my stuff. Just leave her. Leave her. Yeah? She has the same thing. Can you do the same here? One? One? No, 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 no. You're afraid. Is it possible for you to do like this? Okay, come. One, two, three. Hey, don't worry, don't worry. He's burning. Don't worry. Yeah? What did you do? One. Oh. Oh. Now, see, wait. It's burning. It's not done. It's not done yet. It's burning. We'll give it 5 minutes. It will burn out. So what happened here? What happened here? Somebody is envious of her and released this thing. Who told you that you can live natural life without supernatural power? See? Okay, yours is even going. Check it. Press it. Press. Look for the pain. Look for it. Look for it. Look for it. Look for it. If you find it, let me know. How on is going? Can you find it? Check, check, check very well. It must be somewhere. It must be hiding. So the arrow has gone. Here.
Amen.
Somebody in this room is dead. Although you don't believe me. If we leave you for 14 days without prayer, you will not be among us. Lord, show me a sign. That one that is in this place that death has caught up with. Show me a sign. Show me that one. Show me in the name of Jesus. So that one is dead. Come, bring her. This is another one. Go to your seat. So this is what you do. That place that is paining you, press it like this. No. Yeah. You see? You see?
Okay.
Here. Press like this. Press. 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 Keep pressing until I ask you to stop. Now, this lady, are you with me? You are not with me. Come, bring the lady. This lady, if we don't do something to this lady, are you following me? Death is upon her. You need authority to cast out death. Now watch it. And I need to show you how death manifests. It's just that we can't see her eyes. I will show you how to identify it. You spirit of death, hear me. Let her go. That's that. Where's the second one? This one? Are you sure? This one? Where is she from? She's been here. Okay, we'll leave. This one? Oh, is it stomach? There are two people that reacted to my prayer. Where's the second one? Ah, Jesus Christ. Where did you go? Who are you fighting? Oh, I thought that you could see what I was seeing. Spirit of death, let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Okay, he's going. Do you think I have power to do this? This authority. And that's why I'm speaking gently, so that you will know that it's not. You get it? Okay, so why are you here? You are late. Stomach. Okay, nobody will pray for you. Do like this. Press the place that is paining you. Press well. One. Okay. Two. No. See. One. Two. Don't worry. One. Then you remove it. Press two. Remove it. Press three. Remove it now. Look for the pain now. Look for it. Can you find it?
No.
Okay. One. Don't worry. One. Two. Three. Look for it. If you can find it, let me know. Can you find it? Yes, check.
It's here.
Okay. See? Okay. What they put on you has left. Did you do what I asked you to do? Can you still find the pain? You can find it. Can you find it? You can. Okay. Good. So she's coming out of a grave now. Wait. Do you know the ritual where they bury people before they die? So she's coming out of a grave. So I call you forth in the name of Jesus. Okay, that one, the spirit of death has left him. So he can go back. Come out of the grave. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. So, no more death on this lady. Before I run away, I want to bless you now. All you need to do is just raise your right hand. Tomorrow is Saturday. Tomorrow evening, as the Lord has given me, I will release it on you. But I will not go to the wilderness for you. I will not fast for you. I will not pray for you. And if you cannot fast and pray, you can't even maintain what I will give you. Is that clear? If you agree that you fast and pray, so Father, I ask that the door of grace will be open to your people in the name of Jesus. Let the door of grace be open to your people in the name of Jesus. Equip and empower. In Jesus' mighty name.